together and look to the word of the Lord today, shall we? Revelation, the Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. The Revelation chapter 3. And let's read verse number 20. It said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." My sermon titled today, "Just Open the Door." Just open the door. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. These verses come at the end of a letter that Jesus told John to write to a church in Laodicea. Laodicea was a city that was located on a travel route that went from Ephesus, the coastal city, into Syria. It was a city of great commerce. It was a city that was of great wealth. 61 AD, there was an earthquake that destroyed the city of Laodicea. And they did not ask for any funds from the Roman government. They rebuilt the city at their own expense because they had the money to do it. Amen. May their tribe increase. But they were able to rebuild of their own accord because they were a wealthy city. They had lots of money. It was a city that had a medical school, a well-known medical school. As a matter of fact, they exported from Laodicea all over the country in different parts of the world. They had this famous eye salve that they sent around the world for people that had eye problems. And then they were also known for a special wool that came from there. They were a species of sheep that had a violet, black, glossy wool that was very renowned. And so they exported that wool and garments made from that wool in the various parts of the world. And it was a city that was well known for all of these things and for being a very wealthy, wealthy city. And the Lord wrote a letter to this particular church. And he begins by addressing them by saying and calling himself, he said, "I am the Amen." What is the Amen? Amen. The Amen is that it's right. He said, "I'm the righteous one. I'm the last word. I am all that I am. I am all that I said I would be." And that's who he is. He's all that he said he would be. When the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon and they asked her about the visit, she said, "The half was not told me." She's saying it was better than I heard that it was. And those things are rare in life, to find something that's better than somebody told you that it was going to be. But I'm saying to you today that Jesus Christ is more and he's better than you were told. I don't know what you've been told about him. I don't know how good somebody told you that he was. But I'm telling you today, he's better than that, and he's more than that. Amen. You haven't begun to scratch the surface yet of everything that Jesus is and everything that he can be. He called himself faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He said to the church, he said, "I know thy works. I know thy works." Amen. There are, God watches us, and you know where your work reveals you. The things you do reveal your heart. The things you say reveal the person that you really are. And it's not what others think, but you reveal yourself by your words and by your actions. People will know who you really are by what they hear and by what they see. So Jesus said, "I've been watching you. I've been watching your works. And this is what he said. He said, thou art neither cold nor hot. In other words, he said, you know what I notice about you? Number one, he said, you're just indifferent. Nothing really moves you. Nothing, you don't get excited about anything. You don't have any passion in your life about anything. Amen. And I don't know, there are some things that are good when they're cold. And there are some things that are good when they're hot. I like watermelon cold. Amen. I like potatoes hot. There are some things that you eat cold, some things you eat hot. But there's not very many things you like that are just lukewarm. You like one or the other. And the Lord said, I either like you to be cold or I want you to be hot, but I don't want you to be indifferent. I don't want you to fall in that place where you just don't care about anybody or about anything. Amen. And if we're not careful today, we can find ourselves there. As a matter of fact, the world tries to squeeze us into that mold where you can't stand for anything. Amen. We have this picture that the world is trying to paint of Christianity right now, that we are supposed to be a bunch of people that don't really have any backbone or convictions. We are supposed to accept everybody and everything just the way it is and don't criticize anybody. That's what they would call it. Amen. But let me tell you something. The Christians, beginning with Jesus, have always stood up for righteousness. And we have always preached against sin. And we have always loved sinners. Amen. We don't hate people. You don't hate alcoholics, but you hate alcohol. You don't hate drug addicts, but you hate drugs. You don't hate homosexuals, but you hate homosexuality. You hate sin. We take a stand against sin. God does not want us to be indifferent. He doesn't want us to rush out in the world and just accept everybody and say, I love you just as you are. When God saves people, He doesn't just save you as you are, but He changes you. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. He doesn't want you to be like you are. Jesus does not want people to stay the same in their sin, but He wants to transform us and make us righteous creatures clothed with the righteousness of God. Amen. He doesn't want us to make excuses for our sin. He wants us to come out of our sin. The Bible said that He would save His people. Save His people from their sin. He didn't come to save us in it, but apparently Laodicea was indifferent. Come as you are. Does that sound familiar? Just come as you are. Amen. Preacher, don't say too much. I know you might offend somebody. Well, we won't want to do it intentionally. Amen. But how do we know what sin is unless somebody defines it? I heard about a pastor went to a little church in Kentucky to try out to be the pastor. And so he preached. And that Sunday morning, I mean to tell you, he preached. He preached about the evils of alcohol. And after service, board members took him aside and said, preacher, you can't preach like that here. They said one-third of this congregation makes their living from the finest Kentucky bourbon. So the next Sunday, he didn't want to offend anybody, so he spoke on the evils of tobacco. And they called him aside and said, preacher, you can't preach like that here. One-third of this congregation makes their living from growing the finest tobacco in all the world. And the third Sunday he thought and thought and thought, and he said, well, I'll just preach against it. So he preached about the evils of gambling. And they said, "Preacher, I'm sorry, but you're out, son." Said, "1/3 of this congregation raises the best racehorses in the country. And we make our living on the racetrack, gambling." Amen. So he found that he couldn't really preach against anything and be the pastor of that church. But you see, we have to take a stand for righteousness. Jesus did he not? I mean, he preached righteousness, did he not? People have a warped view of Jesus. He didn't just come down to the world and just love, 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 love. Oh, just love you just like you are. I know that sin's killing you, but I just love you. Just keep your sin. I'll just love you anyhow. No! He hated sin. He saw it for what it was. He saw its destruction. He saw it as death. And he came to get people out of their condition and into his righteousness. Isn't that what love is? Amen. If I love my child and they're playing with a rattlesnake, I don't just say, "Honey, I just love you so much. I know that thing's going to kill you, but I just love you so much. I don't want to deprive you of the privilege of playing with that little thing. I'm not going to take anything away from you. So you get snake bit and die, that's just all right, but at least you'll die happy because I didn't take anything away." What kind of warped person would think like that? But this world tries to squeeze us into its mold. And they don't want us to criticize the sins that destroy them. But we must. Because I don't want people to be destroyed by their sin. I want to be saved, see them saved out of their sin. How many have been delivered here today? Aren't you thankful you've been delivered from some things? Praise God. Those things don't bind you anymore. You don't live under that addiction anymore. You don't live under the power of that anymore. You even brought to liberty. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. And so, but he said to Laodicea, he said, "You're indifferent. You're just letting everything go. Nothing moves you. You don't have any fire in your system. Everything just bland, and everything's just rocks on the same." You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to a church, and he actually wrote to the pastor Archippus, and he was warning him about some things. He was telling him about there were some things that he was concerned about in his life. And he was the pastor of a church, and he was the pastor of the church of Laodicea. Apparently, he didn't get the message and he didn't change things. And it just got worse. And so by the time about 90 or 100 BC, or AD, when John wrote this letter, things had gotten worse. And so the apostle, the Lord is speaking to Laodicea now. And he said, "You're a church that has lost your zeal. You've lost your flavor. You've lost your passion. You've lost your fire." And he said, "I would that you were cold or hot." He said, "You're lukewarm." And he said, "I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." I know that's not a pretty picture. But did you ever get a hold of something that tasted so bad you couldn't wait to get rid of it? That's what he's saying about them. He said, "It may be rude, but I can't wait to get you out of my system." That's a bad condition for a church to get into, isn't it? But they found themselves there. And listen, the reason they were there, listen to what he said. Verse 17, he said, "Because thou sayest," everybody said, "thou sayest." This is how they saw themselves. This is what they said about themselves. They said, Laodiceans said, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." That's how they saw themselves. We don't need anything. Amen. I never want to get to the place that I'm not needy. Amen. I want to get up every day singing, "I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee." Amen. I need Jesus every day. I need Jesus every moment. I never get to the place I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. I'm rich enough to make it on my own. I need him. But Laodicea said, "We're rich. We're increased with goods. We're trusting in our riches. We don't need anything. And there are churches that have found themselves in that very condition. Amen. They don't want anybody preaching anything that makes them feel uncomfortable. Don't tell me I have wrong in my life. Don't tell me that I have sins that I need to repent of. I'm happy just the way I am. Just leave me alone. Amen. I have a nice house and I have a nice automobile and I wear good clothes and I hang around with people just like myself and I can afford to do what I want to do when I want to do it. So you just leave me in my comfort zone. That's what Laodicea was saying. We like it just like it is. Don't change anything. We're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. But here's what God said. He said, you don't know it, but you're wretched. And you're miserable. And you're poor. Amen. You know, it's a sad thing to be miserable and not know it. To be poor and not know it. It's what he said. He said, you don't know it, but you're miserable. You're wretched. That's how God saw them. Amen. You see, you can have a lot of this world's goods and not be as happy as you think you are. A lot of what people use their wealth for is trying to cover up emptiness and try to satisfy longings that cannot be satisfied with natural things because it's a spiritual hunger. Now, I'm not saying that Christians have to be poor. But you need to be saturated and satisfied with spiritual things. And then these things are simply added to you. But you don't take the measure of your success and the measure of your stature as a human being from stuff. I must be okay because I have this and I have that and I have this and I have that. And that's how society says, I'm okay. If I have these things and I do this, I'm okay. But spiritually, there's an aching and an emptiness and a void on the inside that has not yet been satisfied. So the Lord says to Laodicea, you don't even know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then he said, I'm going to give you some counsel. I'll counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire that you might be rich. Everybody say, tried in the fire. Amen. You need to be tried in the fire. You know what that is? You see, what fire cannot consume, it purifies. If it can't burn it, it makes it better. And so he said, you try the things in your life. If it burns it, then it was not good anyway. But if it was good and stable and pure and righteous, then it'll just make it better. And so he said, you try things in your life. And the things that cannot be consumed will be purified. And those things are genuine. And those things are true. And those things are good. And then he said, clothe yourselves with white raiment. Amen. You see, they were famous for their black wool. He said, and you take comfort in that. But the white raiment that he's talking about is the righteousness of the saints, which is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. He said, you need to be arrayed in my garment. You remember the parable of Jesus at the wedding feast, and there was a man at the wedding feast that didn't have a wedding garment on. You see, The host went to all the trouble to make a special garment for everybody that came. And this man did not have the integrity to even wear the garment that was provided for him by the host. And so he was cast out. You're not going to get to heaven by your own righteousness and by your own goodness. You're going to have to take on the goodness of Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to take on His righteousness. Because the Bible said our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. I might think I'm good enough, but God knows I'm not good enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been around somebody that was self-righteous? Shake your head like this right here. Did you find anything wrong? Shake your head like this right here. Uh-huh. Yeah, and they were all the time thinking, oh, I'm just good the way I am. Well, you could have pointed out a few things. That's the way God sees us. In our self-righteousness. But He knows the areas that we need improvement in. And so He said, you need to put on a white robe. And then He said, and He said, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mightest see. They were famous for an eye salve. And so he was reminding them. He said, but I can help you to see things you can't see. Amen. And there are some things that we don't want to see about ourselves. That's what repentance is all about. It's opening your eyes to see your faults and your failures, your shortcomings. Isn't it? That's what repentance is. It's getting down to business with God and saying, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to play games here. I'm not trying to just play a game of some kind of religiosity. I'm interested, God. I really want to see myself. I want to see how You see today. I want to love the things You love. I want to do the things that You wish me to do and You want me to do. And so the Lord is saying to Laodicea, He said, you need to open your eyes. Get something where you can really see things correctly. Amen. And then He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Amen. If the Lord loves you, He doesn't leave you in your condition. Amen. Praise God. Love wants things to be better. Love wants us to be all that we can be. Amen. That's why your parents, young people, push you to do better. And that's why teachers want you to do better. Because they care. Good ones do. Amen. They want you to be better. They know that you can do better. Amen. Isn't that right? Shake your head like this. I don't like it, but that's right, Brother Grissom. I'd rather just leave me alone. Let me go ahead and make these, but they won't. Well, thank God for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. They want you to do better. They know you can be better. They know you can do better. They want you to live better. And God wants the same thing from us. Now, the Lord writes to this proud church. And listen, He doesn't just preach to them, but He shows them the remedy for their pride. He said, behold, look. Look. He said, I stand. Everybody say, I stand. He's not going anywhere. He's not running. I stand at the door. You see, God draws some boundaries. He doesn't come in unless He's invited. He doesn't barge His way into your life. He doesn't just come in and take over. Now, the devil will do that. He's not a gentleman. But the Lord stands at the door. He knows where the boundary is. And you'll not go beyond that unless He's invited. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is with Christianity. It's the only religion in the world where God comes seeking man instead of man seeking God. All other religions, it's about an elusive God that man seeks. But Christianity is about a God that sought man, a God that came down to our level when we couldn't get up to His level so He could lift us up. A God that sought us, a God that said, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." A God that came to Adam after he sinned and said, "Adam, where are you?" It's a whole new concept in religion that God would seek man, but that's exactly what He did then and what He's doing today. God is seeking us. So He said, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," He's calling, He's speaking. Amen. "And if he'll open the door," everybody say, "Open the door," because the handle's on the inside. Now you see, the devil can't get in unless you let him in. And God can't get in unless you let him in, because the handle is in on the inside. Anything that's in your life, it's because you let it into your life. And so he said, "Open, and I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Amen. Now, in Bible times, basically they had three meals like we do today. They had breakfast, which was usually very light. Pop-Tarts back then, but you know, something like that. And then they had lunch, which was usually sandwiches or picnic food, finger food, a beanie weenies, or vienna sausage or something, a sandwich, rabbit on the run. And then there was supper. Supper's when you come home to mama. Amen. And the table was spread. And the kids were around. And everybody sat down. And everybody relaxed. And everybody ate a good meal. And had conversation and fellowship. Because that was supper. And it was the time when all the family got together. The day is done. The work is over. Now it's time to relax and enjoy. And so the Lord, He didn't say, "I'll have breakfast with you. We're not in any hurry here." He didn't say, "I'll have lunch with you." We do lunch today, right? But the Lord said, "I will sup with you." We're going to sit down. We're going to relax. We're going to get around the table. We're going to spend some time. We're going to talk. We're going to have fellowship one with another. Amen. God's interested in having fellowship with us. God is interested in spending time with us. God is interested in hearing about our day. And let us tell Him about what happened in our life. God's interested in having fellowship with humanity. Amen. You talk about humility. That the God of the universe would want to sup with me. You see, here's a church that's proud and haughty. He said, "But I come seeking you. I'm at your door." Amen. Can you imagine knowing that God's at the door and not let Him in? Can you imagine how insulting it would be for God to knock on your door and you turn Him away? Just open the door. It's that simple. Just open the door. He said, "If you'll open the door, I will come in." Woo! Hallelujah! I will come in. And I'll bring supper with me. I'll feed you. I'll nourish you. I'll bless you. I'll give you the things that you need. Let's stand together today. Just open the door. That's all you got to do, is just open the door. And things that you never dreamed will come to pass. Hallelujah. Fellowship with God Himself. How much greater could it get than that? Amen. That God would actually come in and sit down with us and take time to be with us and to give us of Himself and all of His righteousness. Amen. Just open the door. Are you hungry? Open the door. Are you walking in darkness? Open the door, and the light of the world will come in. Amen. The bread of life. Amen. The water of life. The healer of the soul. The creator of the ends of the earth. He'll come in. Just open the door. Amen. Somebody need to open the door today. Somebody needs to let Jesus in today. He can take the hurt and heal it. He can remove the pain. He can take off the blinders so that you can see clearly. He can give you a desire for righteous and good things and take away the hunger for the things that are destroying and gnawing and eating away. Invite him in. Just open the door. Praise God. Open the door. Somebody, please, just open the door. Hallelujah. I invite you to come today. Open your heart to the Lord and invite Jesus in. Invite him into your life. Invite him into your heart. Give him free rein. Open every door. Let there be no shadows or hidden places. Don't try to cover anything. Let him come in. Let it all be revealed today. Let him shine light into every crevice and every corner. Let the blood of the Lamb cleanse every sin, every stain. Hallelujah. Let there be purity, righteousness in your heart today. Let him in. Just open the door.
Beyond the open door,
just open the door.
Is a new and fresh.